cricket. I was saying to Gary this morning, people don't realise that, see, when you're doing this, Sunday's the last day of your week, unlike for you, it's the first day of your week. So for us, it's the last day, so I'm not surprised I'm saying good evening. Let's just pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we come again, Lord, in Jesus' name, to your word. And we want it to be your word that speaks to us this morning, not my word, not my opinions or my thoughts, Lord God, but your living and active word, because it's your word that, Lord, is our sure foundation. When we look at all that's going on in this world, whether it be, Lord, with the storms that are coming from all angles, whether it be the terrible, terrible things that go on where man's inhumanity to man, whatever it might be, Lord God, we realize that we need to have a sure foundation upon which we build our lives. And the only sure foundation is Jesus, the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, that your word today would be a sure foundation for each of us. Speak to us, Lord, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn, please, to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, and we'll be looking at that in a few moments. But last week, Keith spoke about Moses, and he gave a sort of brief synopsis of the life of Moses. And it was Moses that it records it is with him that God spoke face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And I was saying earlier, it didn't mean that Moses was standing having a wee conversation with God and they could see God's face, because in that same chapter you will find that it says no one can see the face of God and live. Now what that basically means, for those who are not sure, is it means that God is so holy that his holiness would consume anyone who could get that close. It's about people like trying to look into the sun. You know, if you do it long enough, you'll go blind, or as you get closer, you know, you'll go blind. And so such is the holiness, or it's called the effulgence of God, that you would go blind. In fact, you would be completely consumed. And yet, this man who spoke to God face to face, God called him to lead his people Israel out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. And when he first talked to Moses, we're told that it was from a burning bush that God spoke. And he told Moses not to draw near. And we were saying in the Bible study on Wednesday night, that could you imagine if you were walking through Castle Park and suddenly this bush in front of you burst into what looked like flames? You would immediately go and say, oh, what's going on here? And go and have a wee, wouldn't you? You would want to go straight away and have a wee look. Well, Moses was no different. He started to dander over to see, oh, what's going on here? When this voice gulders out, Moses! I'd have been straight away. As soon as I heard the verse name, I'd have been away like a shot. But here, Moses, Moses, do not draw near, for this ground is holy ground. Take your sandals off your feet, for this ground is holy ground. Imagine if that happened. Imagine if God came to us in a way like that and spoke to us. And you see, the thing about it is, see that ground, wherever that was on that mount, it was just ordinary dirt. No different than the dirt that you'll get anywhere else when you're walking. But what made that ground holy ground was the presence of a holy God. And Moses, therefore, when he said, don't draw near, same thing. You draw too close, God's holiness would consume him. That fire would have come out of the bush and consumed him. And God said, remove your sandals. And that was an act of humble obedience on Moses' part. And later, Moses asked God, later in his life, he asked God to show him his glory. Such was their intimacy, such was their friendship, their relationship, that God was able to say, or Moses was able to say to God, God, would you show me your glory? And so God hid him, we're told, in the cleft of a rock and then passed by. Now, he covered Moses with his hand, and he passed by, and Moses only got to see the back of God, because as we've already been told, no one can see God and live. God's holiness means he can't look on sin. His holiness may consume any who would wrongfully approach him. Do you know that that applies to Christians? Do you know that God's holiness, may consume those who wrongfully approach him. Well, the Bible tells us that Moses was the humblest man on the earth. And yet he, the friend of God, later in life, having met with God and had God speak to him from the burning bush, having humbly obeyed and took off his sandals because the ground was holy ground, having had God show him his glory, later the friend of God disobeyed God and did not get to enter the promised land. We have to learn to be humble, to be able to approach God. And we have to learn to make sure that we do things the way God says. When people say they hear from God, what does that actually mean? And this is a big thing in Christian circles. And if you go on to the godless channels, not that I would recommend it, but when you see half of the headbins on the godless channels who stand like as if they're having this conversation between them and God and telling people, you know, and now just fill in your credit card details, touch this part of the screen and you'll be healed. Absolute nonsense. When people say they hear from God, when they say that God has spoken to them and has given them words, visions, readings, prayers, as Keith said last week, when we do this, because Keith and I will get up and say that we are sharing with you what God has put on our hearts on a Sunday morning. So when God gives you this word, this reading, this prayer, do you realize that what you're saying when you say God has done this, that you are putting yourself in league with men like Moses, like Abraham, like Jacob, like Isaiah, like Daniel, like Deborah, like Huldah the prophetess? You're putting yourself in league with these people. Well, there are three signs to look out for when people bring words from God. And these signs are vital. Three signs that you have every right to watch out for when somebody comes with a word from God. Firstly, is the person who's bringing the word, are they living in obedience and faithfulness to God? Now, that's a hard one because you don't know. We can all put on our masks and we can all be Sunday Christians, and the other six nights a week we can be out there doing our own thing. We don't know, it's hard, but the Bible is clear. Are they living in obedience and faithful service to God? The second sign is there humility when they speak the word about hearing from God? And thirdly, is there any fear of God when they say the Lord has spoken to them? Are they living in obedience and faithful service to God? Are they basically at church worshipping and serving the Lord faithfully? Is there a humility when they speak about hearing from God? And is there a fear of God when they say that God has spoken to them? See if none of these signs can be known. If none of these signs can be seen or heard, treat what they say with utter contempt. That's my view. Treat it with contempt. Treat it with a bucket of salt. If they cannot see those signs, do not listen to what they say. And if it is God still using them, because he may very well do so, God will confirm it another way. Trust God. If those signs are not there, treat it with disregard, or disregard it. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13, says this: "The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy, the one you are to fear and dread." This is Isaiah the prophet, who was called by God, and I think Keith will be speaking about him next week. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. I wonder, when you came here this morning, did you have any regard for the fact that you were coming into holy ground? Now, God's not saying, take off your shoes because you're in holy ground. If he sees me, he'll see holy socks. Take off your shoes because you're in holy ground. Did you have any regard for coming to meet with a holy God this morning? The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy, the one you are to fear and dread. Did you come in this morning maybe shaking a wee bit, thinking, Holy God's going to be here? The Holy God will know what I may or may not have done this week. The Holy God might consume me this morning. It's not going to happen because of Jesus. Moses said twice, God is a consuming fire. He said it in Deuteronomy 4:24 and in Deuteronomy 9:3. God is a consuming fire. The writer to the Hebrews in the New Testament backs it up saying the same words, that our God is a consuming fire. What makes a loving God a consuming fire is his holiness. Let's read chapter 6 of Numbers and verses 22 through to 27. Very well known passage. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now Moses was told by God to tell his brother Aaron that this was how he and the subsequent high priest were to bless the people of God. This is how they were to invoke the name of God upon the people of Israel. And it was as much a direct command from God as any of the Ten Commandments and the various other ceremonial laws, etc., given by Moses, or given by God to Moses. God expected things to be done his way, even a blessing. He wanted it done his way and in accordance with how he ordained it. And any deviation, Christian, listen to this, any deviation from God's way could have serious implications. And we see it in the New Testament when Paul talks about Christians who take communion in a wrong way and some have fallen asleep. That's him nicely saying they're dead. They've popped their clogs. They've been killed. That's a nice way of putting it. Any deviation from God's way could have serious implications. And Aaron himself was well aware of the need to fear God, who is holy, 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 because previously two of his sons, Nadab and Abihu, offered God strange fire unto the Lord. They offered what they thought they just wanted to do. Strange fire means it was unsanctioned, it was unfamiliar, and it was ungodly fire. They didn't follow God's instructions regarding the burning of incense, and in a moment they were consumed by the holiness of God and they died. God is clear. God changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is clear about how he wants things done his way. Not the way we think or we interpret. God wants things done his way. If you're not prepared to do it God's way, do not mess with a holy God. Do not presume, oh, God loves me, he'll not do anything. Do not presume like that, because God is a consuming fire. He may not consume you in his holiness. Somewhere in your life, things will begin to go wrong because you're choosing to do things your way and not following God's instructions. And that includes how we prepare to hear from God, how we receive these words from God, these readings, these prayers, and how we deliver them. They're all so important. we prepare to hear from God. Moses was 40 years in the wilderness being prepared by God to be, in fact, the most humble man on the face of the earth. We need to prepare to hear from God. We need then to receive from him with the right attitude of heart. And we need to deliver them in the right way. Remember, God is holy, holy, holy. He is a consuming fire. He is the Lord Almighty, the Almighty One, whom we are to regard as holy, the one we are to regard with fear and dread. Having said that we are to regard God as holy and that we are to regard him with fear and dread, let's look at the blessing God told Moses to tell Aaron to pronounce over Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Three times the word Lord. Check your Bible, you will see the word Lord is in capital letters. That means something. It wasn't written just like that for the fun of it, or the person who was doing it got it wrong instead of putting in small letters. Three times the word Lord is in capitals, and it's used in this blessing. Lord, in this case, capital letters, means Yahweh. It means in English, Jehovah. It is the very, very personal name of God. There's probably only one other personal name of God that nobody knows yet, because it'll be written and given to people on that great day when we go to be with the Lord, and that's in Revelation. But this is the personal name of God. If you say you know God, this is his personal name. Yahweh in the Hebrew. Jehovah in English. Religious Jews today hold this name of God in such awe and such high regard, they will not speak it. They will not let it pass their lips. In fact, they will not even write it. They won't even write God, G-O-D. They'll leave the O out and put an asterisk. They consider God's name so holy that they want to avoid taking his name in vain. Isn't that weird? That many of these Jewish people, these religious people who don't even know God, yet they fear and revere his holy name. Would to God that the church was like this. When people in churches say God gives them a reading, God gives them a word to share, a vision, etc., whatever it might be, they need to be careful. We need to be careful that we are not guilty of breaking the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. When you tag God's name onto things that God didn't give you, you're guilty of breaking the third commandment. You have taken the name of the Lord your God in vain. Having said that, in the blessing that God expected Aaron to pronounce over Israel, this holy consuming fire, God wanted Israel to know him in a personal, in an intimate way. God wanted this consuming fire. God still wanted his people to know him, to experience him even in his holiness. He wanted to bless them, to prosper, and to protect them. He wanted to make his face shine upon them. And that meant to experience intimacy with God, to have him show them acceptance and grace. It also meant that God himself would take pleasure in them and provide all that was necessary for their well-being.
The Lord's blessing, the greatest blessing that God can give to anyone, it's not wisdom like Solomon had asked for, which is a wonderful thing, and God gave him wisdom and gave him great riches and made him the wisest king that ever lived. But the blessing of God, the greatest blessing that anybody can ask of God is, make your face shine upon me. Lifting up his countenance upon them meant the Lord smiled at them. Do you ever see the adverts for dentists, toothpaste, and the smile comes and it says, ting, there's this wee light flash. That's, in a sense, what it's like with God. You're saying, Lord, lift up your countenance, smile, smile upon me, and give me peace. And that's what it means to lift up his countenance upon them. It meant the Lord smiled at them and gave them peace. And it wasn't an absence from war or conflict. It could even mean that within war and conflict, they were still in a state of rightness, a state of well-being before the living God. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy, the one you are to fear and dread. He is a consuming fire. His absolute holiness makes him a consuming fire. And yet, this morning, or this afternoon, this holy God wants to commune with us, his people. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to bless us, to prosper us and to protect us. God wants to make his face shine upon us, to enable us to experience intimacy with him, to have him show us acceptance and grace. He wants to take pleasure in us and provide all that is necessary for our well-being. The Lord wants his face to shine upon us, to smile at us, and to give us peace. He wants to speak to us and through us, to use us in the work of his kingdom. But guess what? Guess what? It has to be done God's way. It has to be done God's way. God expects things to be done his way in accordance with how he has ordained it. Any deviation, Christian, any deviation from the way God wants things done can have serious implications even for you. Did you hear that this morning, Christian? Any deviation from the way God wants things done can have serious implications for Christians. We must not, like Nadab and Abihu, we must not offer God unsanctioned, unfamiliar, and ungodly things. Do you hear it? We must not, under any circumstances, offer God unsanctioned, unfamiliar, and ungodly things. We must not take his name in vain with words, readings, or prayers, etc., that are not of him. God is clear today as he was in Moses' day. He wants things done his way. So, Christian, are you living in obedience and faithful service to God? Is there any humility in your heart when you speak about hearing from God? Is there any fear of God when you say, he who is holy has spoken to you? God knows our hearts. He knows how we live and serve. No Christian should offer Jehovah, that very personal, intimate name for God, because he wants to be personal and intimate with us. Christian You should never offer the Lord anything unworthy of Him. And everything we do, everything that we offer, must be offered through Jesus. See this putting a religious tag? God gave me this, or God shared or showed me that on words or readings or prayers, doesn't make them godly. Do you understand? Putting the tag on it doesn't make them godly. And if they're not given by God, then we may be guilty of breaking the third commandment. Like Moses, Christian, let's humbly approach God with reverent fear and trembling, remembering our God is a consuming fire, and yet He loves to bless us, to speak to us, and to speak through us. Maybe there's somebody this morning listening and they're not yet a believer, they're not yet a Christian. Well, I need to tell you what God's word says. The Lord wants to bless you and keep you. He wants to make His face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord wants to lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. But to receive this blessing from God, you must do things God's way. And God's way is this: confess your sin. Agree with God that you are a sinner. And repent from that sin. Turn around from that wickedness. Turn around from your sinfulness. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a belief that causes you to act. God is holy, holy, holy. And He is a consuming fire. And His holiness will wipe out all sin when Jesus returns. God is clear about how He wants you to do things His way. Remember, the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy, the one you are to fear and dread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning that we can approach You, that we can draw near to the very throne of Almighty God, unafraid, because of Jesus. And it is in confidence in Jesus and in Jesus alone that we draw near to You. We ask, Father, please, that You would help us to have faith in You, to know You intimately. Lord, You have given us Your personal name. We want to know You like Moses, Lord God, communing with You as though face to face, like a man or a woman speaks to their friend. Lord, You are more than our friend. You are our God. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. And we delight in You this morning. And we pray, Lord, please, that You would help us not to take Your name in vain. Not to tag Your name on things that are unsanctioned, Lord, not of You. Help us, please, to have faith in You, to approach You with reverent fear, in humility, Lord, please, that we might hear Your voice, because we know that You delight to speak to us. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You that because of Him, we have confidence to draw near and know that we will not be consumed. But let us not presume upon Your grace, but always remember that You are the Lord Almighty, the one that we are to regard as holy, the one that we are to approach in humility, in fear, and with a sense of dread, because You are a consuming fire. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.